Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Thomas Birtel from Vienna calling. As usual, we trust that you have our presentation regarding the first three quarters of the current year in front of you. We start with page number three, where we give the image of our top line. With regard to the output volume, as expected, we report a stable figure which amounted to 9.7 billion euros by the end of the third quarter in 2014. This is a plus of 1%. We had, as you all know, favorable weather conditions at the beginning of the year, especially in the big home market of Germany. Some other markets, such as Russia or Romania, were each down slightly at the same time, and hence the overall top line development is, as expected, a stable one. When it comes to the order backlog, we can report a rather positive figure, which means an increase of about 10%. Our order backlog by the end of September amounted to almost 15.4 billion euros. This is the biggest order backlog we had to report by the end of the month of September in any year. The development was particularly driven by some industrial construction projects which we acquired in Russia, but also by large projects we have taken in, for instance, in Chile, Slovakia, Romania, or in Denmark. Let's now come to slide number four regarding the development of our result figures. When we start with EBITDA, we can report after 9 months growth of 6%. The EBITDA amounted to almost 350 million euros. In the previous year, it was only 329 million euros. Depreciation and amortization considered in that figure was about last year's level. The EBIT rose by 62% and amounted to almost 64.3 million euros by the end of September this year. We come to slide number five, which gives a picture of our three operational segments, which are regional or geographic ones, as you all know, since middle of  2012. The North and West segment comprises the home market of Germany, the Benelux states, Scandinavia, and Poland. There we had to report an EBIT figure of minus 52 million euros by the end of September this year, whilst last year it was only minus 21 million euros. We give some reasons for that negative development when we come to the details of our operational segments. On the other hand, Southeast and International and Special divisions show a strong improvement of their EBIT figures. South and East comprising Austria, Switzerland, and all the Southern and Eastern European countries reports an increase of 105%, and the EBIT figure amounted to almost 100 million euros by the end of September this year. International and Special division even increased their EBIT figure by 126% and reached 32 million euros by the end of September. All in all, as I said before, this volatile development led to an increase of 62% for the group. We come to the details of the segments a little later. First of all, we have a look at slide number six, giving the earnings per share, which moved as usual into positive territory by the end of the third quarter. The net interest income this year slipped from minus 19 million euros last year to minus 25 million euros this year. Below the line, the result was an 88% improvement of the earnings before taxes, the EBT, which amounted to 39.4 million euros. Income tax increased from about minus 12.5 million to minus 19.2 million euros, and the remaining net income grew by 137% and amounted to a little more than 20 million euros. A profit of almost 6 million, in the previous year it was almost 11 million, was attributable to third-party shareholders. The net income after minorities moved from negative into positive territory and reached 14.4 million euros. Last year it was minus 2.2. The earnings per share hence amounted to 0.14 euros after 0.02 in the first 9 months of the previous year. Let's now come to our balance sheet on page number seven. The balance sheet total amounted to almost 10.5 billion euros on the 30th of September this year, and this is only a little change versus the 10.6 billion euros from 31st of December 2013. Our equity ratio amounted to 30.2% after 30.7% at the end of the previous year. It remained hence at the usual high level. It's very typical for the season that our net cash position, which amounted to 73 million euros at the end of last year, turned into a net debt figure. By the end of the third quarter this year, it was a net debt of 472 million. Last year, it was a net debt of 605 million euros, which means that we see a decrease in that figure by 22%. We have now a look at the cash flow figures given on chart number eight. The cash flow from earnings grew by 4% over the comparison period of the previous year. The cash flow from operating activities improved by 7% and amounted to almost 109 million euros. In contrast, all other cash flow figures worsened. The purchase of financial assets in connection with the Hotel Marriott in Bucharest and the payment for the acquisition of the DIW Group of Germany drove the cash flow from investing activities to -381 million. Last year, it was only -257 million. The cash flow from financing activities moved from positive into negative terrain due to a 200 million bond issue last year, something which we opted against this year. We now come to the details of our three operational figures segments. Let's start on chart number nine with North and West. As you all know, we have seen a wild winter, especially in Germany, and hence the output volume of the North and West segment underwent a positive development. By the end of the third quarter, it was still growing by 7% over the first nine months of the previous year and amounted to 4,587 million euros. The largest contribution to this increase came from the building construction and civil engineering business in our biggest single market, Germany, and from the reclassification of a part of the railway construction activities from South and East segment into the North and West segment. The projects acquired some time ago in Denmark also showed a positive impact. The EBIT, however, and this had already been mentioned before, was more than twice as deep in negative territory, amounting to -52 million. This is a development which you already know from our report regarding the first two quarters of this year. In the third quarter, however, the results developed more or less normally. We have seen some individual projects which developed negatively, for instance, in the Netherlands, the motorway A15, and in Sweden, we already commented upon the development of the so-called Täby Centrum, a shopping center mall in the neighborhood of Stockholm. The order backlog increased by 4% over the comparison period and amounted to more than 6 billion, hence 6.05 billion euros by the end of September. This growth was driven above all by the markets in Denmark, Germany, Sweden, and Poland. In Denmark, in the first half of the year, STRABAG was awarded with a contract to build the Axeltorv project, a 14-story multi-use building in the center of Copenhagen with a contract value of more than 100 million euros, as well as the tunneling contract, including station and ramp for the Copenhagen Metro with about 90 million of the contract value corresponding to our Züblin AS subsidiary. In Sweden, we already reported on the construction of the Marieholmstunnel with a total contract value of more than 170 million for Züblin Scandinavia AB. In Bremerhaven, Germany, in the third quarter, a consortium including two group companies was awarded the contract to build the Szeboga Strasse Harbor Tunnel. In Poland, a whole series of new orders in the past nine months proved that the market may finally be on its way to recovery. Let's come to the outlook of the segment. An output volume of 6 billion euros had previously been expected for North and West in 2014, an estimate which, thanks to Germany and the transition of a part of railway construction from the other segment, will very likely be surpassed this year. Two different trends can be observed in the market. The German building construction civil engineering business should continue to contribute quite positively to both output volume and earnings, while subcontractor prices are no longer expected to rise, but could even fall slightly. In the German mass market for transportation infrastructures, however, no substantial investment boom is expected also next year, despite the government's announcement that it would raise investments and the increasing state of disrepair of the transport infrastructure. This basically also applies to large projects in Germany. After the shrinking of the Polish market last year, this country's construction sector this year recovered significantly. The Polish Road Construction Authority had planned to make investments in the amount of around 7.5 billion euros for the 2 years 2014 and 15. Additionally, investments of more than 10 billion euros are expected in railway construction in Poland between 2015 and 22. As most construction companies now have extensive order backlogs, rising material, staff, and subcontractor prices are to be expected in this country. Let's come to the next segment, South and East, on slide number 10. The South and East segment, as you see there on the top line, generated an output volume of almost 3 billion euros in the first 9 months of 2014, which means this is 8% less as in the preceding year. This development can be partially explained by the reclassification, which I already mentioned, of a part of railway construction to the North and West segment, and by the completion of a large road construction project in Romania at the same time that new orders in this market, Romania, have not yet found expression in the output volume. However, the EBIT figure of the segment more than doubled after 9 months and amounted to almost 100 million euros. In the third quarter, the revenue fell by 22% in response to the end of expired large projects, while the EBIT grew by 5% to 115.8 million. The order backlog for the segment also registered a significant growth versus the end of the third quarter of 2013, with a plus of 10%, it amounted to 4.8 billion. This can largely be explained by transportation infrastructure projects, especially in Slovakia, and in various medium-sized orders in Romania. The order backlog also climbed significantly upward in Russia, thanks to three contracts awarded in industrial construction. With regard to the outlook, the South and East segment had previously been expected to reach a volume of 4.7 million billion in 2014. This target should be barely met. The segment is characterized by smaller projects, and only few large projects are currently being tendered in the region of the segment. The business environment and the price situation in the Central and Eastern European construction sector remains challenging. Strong competition can be seen, especially, as already mentioned, in Romania, but also in the Adriatic region. The general construction environment in the Czech Republic and also in Slovakia is acceptable, but pressure from competition is on the rise here as well. The bidding prices are at times close to the limit of profitability. Also, the situation in the home market of Austria did not relax. In the face of excess capacities, price competition in all construction segments remains intense. The only segment that remains quite positive is building construction business in the greater Vienna area. The order books here are well filled and we keep a nice leading market position. The activities in Russia, which are also shown in this segment, have shifted increasingly over the past few months from a focus on residential, on commercial construction, to heavy industrial construction. We will be busy working off the newly acquired projects in the years to come. The order backlog in Russia alone amounts to something more than 900 million euros by the end of September 2014, which is a rather high figure as compared as to the previous years at that time. Although the earnings improvement measures in the environmental technology business had been taking hold, we made strategic changes by withdrawing from our flue gas treatment business through the sale of assets. The business had, however, only generated a rather limited annual output volume of about 25 million euros. We now come to our third and most heterogeneous operational segment, which is the International and Special Division segment, shown on slide number 11. Thanks to the growth in the home market of Germany, where this segment is active, for instance, in facility management and real estate development, the output volume of the segment increased by 3% in the first 9 months. The contrasting upward and downward movements in the other countries more or less balanced each other out. The EBIT, however, more than doubled and amounted to almost 32 million euros. The order backlog also increased strongly compared to 30 September 2013 and grew by 18%, amounting to more than 4.5 billion euros. Responsible for this development was, among other things, the award of an approximately 370 million euro project in Chile in the fourth quarter of last year. This year, the order backlog received an additional boost from the contract awards for the Ulriken rail tunnel in Norway, amounting to almost 75 million euros, and the Tulfesfond section of the Brenner base tunnel in Austria, with a value of more than 190 million euros for us. In Canada, we were awarded again with a contract to build another tunnel, the so-called mid-halt and outfall tunnel, which has a contract value equivalent to just over 50 million euros. With regard to the output, the output volume of the segment should settle as forecasted at about 2.8 billion euros, unchanged hence versus the previous year. Earnings are also expected to remain satisfactory, even if the price level is ruinously low in some areas, for instance in tunneling. The economic situation continues to be difficult, especially in the company's traditional markets of Austria, Germany, and Switzerland. We are therefore increasingly offering our technological know-how outside of Europe. Currently being pursued in this regard are selected projects such in places such as Canada, we have a nice pipeline for some years now, Chile, and the Arab world. Internationally, we are successfully active in specialty businesses such as pipe checking, in test track construction, and in the field of liquefied natural gas. In our traditional non-European markets, such as the Middle East, we remain engaged with the same level of commitment so that the order situation can be assessed as satisfactory despite the great competition that projects are subject to here as well. Although existing projects are mostly proceeding satisfactorily, the market for concession projects and transportation infrastructures in Europe remains weak in the face of a reduced project pipeline. While we were able to conclude two contracts as part of a consortium in 2014, the contract to establish a tolling system in Belgium and a section of the N17 and 18 motorway in Ireland, potential projects, above all in Eastern Europe, hold significant political and financial challenges. In addition to the Northern European area, therefore, we are actively yet selectively observing international markets such again as Chile, Canada, or selected countries in Africa, especially in East Africa. In comparison, we again expect a solid earnings contribution from the following two business fields. In property and facility services, increased productivity should make it possible to partially compensate for the higher personnel costs from the newly concluded collective agreements for 2014, especially in Germany. Here, we expanded our range of services in the past quarter to include industrial cleaning through the acquisition of the DIW Group, formerly belonging to Voith of Stuttgart. The takeover also served to strengthen the position of Strabag Property and Facility Services as second largest facility services enterprise in Germany. The real estate development business, meanwhile, is profiting from higher rents and lower vacancies in the German real estate centers. Moreover, in view of the continuously low interest rates, German and Austrian real estate should remain a much sought-after investment alternative. STRABAG is therefore very pleased with the busy activity of its subsidiary STRABAG Real Estate GmbH. For two projects, the Upper West at Berlin Square Fürstendamm and the Dancing Towers in Hamburg, Reeperbahn, investors have already been found. Meanwhile, properties were acquired for new projects in Frankfurt and in Hamburg again. And only recently, we announced the start of the development of the office and retail property Astoria in the Polish capital, Warsaw. We now come to the last slide of our prepared presentation, with which on page number 12 reiterates the outlook already given for 2014. We continue to expect the output volume for the 2014 financial year to remain more or less unchanged versus 2013, which means at an amount of 13.6 billion euros. Due to the necessary purchase of project-related specialty equipment, the purchase of financial assets, and the acquisition of the DIW Group, the net investments, which means the cash flow from investing activities, is now expected to rise from 332 million in 2013 to around 500 million in 2014. We still forecast an EBIT of at least 260 million euros for the current financial year, which more or less corresponds to the value of 2013, as no material changes have happened in the meantime. With regard to the development of the EBIT figure as per the end of the third quarter, I would like to ask you to bear in mind that the fourth quarter, which is always decisive for the EBIT development of the STRABAG Group, was exceptionally strong in the last year, which we do not expect to repeat this year. Hence, our outlook remains stable, and I'm now happy to answer your eventual questions. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And our first question today comes from the line of Christian Kort of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello, Dr. Wirtel. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I have three questions, please. The first one relates to the segment North and West. I would like to ask what the timeline of the current projects is that you mentioned, where you had some difficulties or financial costs, and if there are any costs involved, if you could shed some light on the amount that we perceived in the third quarter. The second question relates to the P&L statement. You recorded a little higher cost of inventory in there. I just would like to ask if there's any special involvement here, if anything special happened, or if that will normalize going forward again, or if this is the new state of the art. And then the third question actually relates to the development within the depreciation. You mentioned a couple of times in the past that the depreciation is a little higher because you bought some specialty equipment. I just would like to be reminded for how long that is planned to be the case. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kort. With regard to the projects, it is a coincidence that the two major projects which I already mentioned, namely the Terby Centrum and also the A15, have a timeline until the middle of next year, according to the current time schedule in place, which does not mean that we expect further losses till that period of time, because it goes without saying that we consider all the losses which we recognize in the moment when we recognize them. That also means that the influence in the third quarter of these projects is very low. The decrease over the previous year year had already been produced in the first two quarters of the year. If you have a look at the segment result development for the third quarter alone, you will discover that the figure also for North and West was rather positive. It was lagging behind the last year's figure by about 10 million euros, but this had basically nothing to do with the projects I mentioned before. With regard to your question regarding the profit and loss accounts, this was basically because of the sale of some assets of our real estate development, which we then show as a decline in inventory because we reclassify projects which are up for sale as a sort of inventory. And hence, we have also reclassified the sale of the Upper West project, which I already mentioned when describing the International and Specialty division, in receivables because we have sold the project before it had been built. Hence, an investor had been found, but the project is not yet being completely built, and hence we had to reclassify that as well. With regard to the investment in specialty equipment, it is difficult to predict how things will develop because that depends on projects. To give you the most coining example, the biggest single investments which you usually make in machinery are with regard to tunneling projects. A single tunnel boring machine can easily cost about 60 million-70 million euros just for one tunnel, and we usually calculate the depreciation over the time of utilization for this project. So once we acquire a new tunneling project, which has to be erected with the TBM method, the tunneling boring machine method, that also means that we have to invest the tunneling boring machine for that project, and it will be depreciated over the period of the construction of the tunnel. For instance, for the Brenner Base Tunnel, this construction period is 8 years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Norbert Kretlow of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Three questions, if I may. First, two on Russia. I'm glad to see that your business is performing well in Russia, and my question would be, with the oil price further dropping and the sanctions having effect, can you see any problems coming up in your bidding pipeline at this time? And the second question would be the 900 million backlog you've been talking about for Russia. Is this all recognized in Russian ruble, or is it also partially recognized in US dollars? And the third question would be on the restructuring benefits we saw in South and East. Maybe you could elaborate a little on this issue. In particular, I'm interested in the environmental technology, and you also mentioned the flue gas treatment business being sold. What has been the EBIT contribution or presumably loss contribution of this business?
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow. With regard to the Russian pipeline, it is true that we see a difficult development in markets where we have formerly been rather strong in. To give you one example, the office market in Moscow is in a very bad situation right now, and we are quite happy that we do not have any project anymore in this segment. We are still active in residential, but there the situation is a little better, although it is true it deteriorated since the beginning of the crisis. Our projects right now, the projects coining our order backlog, are three industrial estates, as I mentioned before, one for a German investor active in Russia and two for Russian investors. We believe that the falling oil price and the development of the exchange rate for the Russian ruble will not be too detrimental for our projects because, as you probably recall, we base our business model in Russia on cost plus fee contracts. And this is also true for the three contracts I mentioned before, which means once prices are going down for whatever reason, either a crisis, either energy price development or so, also the price for our customers are going down, which leads to the fact that their project remains more or less feasible for them. And we have seen the positive impact of that model also once the financial crisis came up in 2008, 2009. So I do not expect any major negative impact right now, as the situation stays more or less as it is today. With regard to the contract currency of our projects, you are legally obliged in Russia to invoice your Russian projects in Russian currency, which is quite normal also in other countries. But we have foreseen for the parts of our works which we have to import for equipment, for instance, or for technical installations, we have foreseen exchange rate stipulations in our contracts, which are more or less safeguarding us against a negative development, especially against the euro. We don't have basically any major exposure to US dollar supplies for Russia. So the US dollar effect is negligible for our business in Russia. And once it comes to importations from the Eurozone to Russia, we have stipulations in our contracts, which then increase the ruble amount which has to be paid for such imports. When it comes to the flue gas treatment activities, which we have sold, as I pointed out before, it has been a rather low activity, and the result, as you already guessed, was negative last year. It amounted to something like 5 million euros.
Great. Good to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow.
And our next question comes from the line of Hans-Peter Kuhlmann of LBBW. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have three questions, if I may. The first is concerning the segments Southeast and International. Despite your description of still rather difficult conditions, I think the margin level there is not bad. My question is, can you keep this level also in the foreseeable future, for example, next year? On the other hand, in the segment North and West, I personally find the margin of 2.2%, the EBIT margin of 2.2% in the third quarter, still rather low. You mentioned, Dr. Birtel, that there were no big extraordinary effects. So here my question is, must we accept that rather low level also in the next year, or can you give us here some hope for an improvement, well, at least in the direction of the group average?
A very good question, Mr. Kuhlmann. It is true that, especially in North and West, and this is before all, of course, Germany, we have a very competitive landscape. And we have no more players of the same size of STRABAG in this country, but there are some very competitive medium-sized players. And we have a lot of regional players or local players when it comes to the local bread-and-butter business, especially for road construction. This means a competitive landscape in the public sector leads to usually rather low price levels, and that is also a limit for the margins. On the other side, we have the private sector represented by our subsidiary of Süblin, and it is well known that this sector is very positively developing so far in Germany, thanks to the, as you usually call it, the escape into concrete with regard to the lack of alternative investment possibilities. And it is not a secret, for instance, that the big sales of major real estate projects, which we have executed this year, lead to improve the margin. And this margin is definitely below the 3% level, definitely above the 3% level, which we have as a medium-term aim for the whole group. So it is a mixture of various influences. I believe that it should also possible in Germany need to produce a moderate increase, a moderate improvement of the overall margins in the forthcoming years, thanks to the combination of two measures which we have inaugurated. First of all, the improvement of our cost efficiency, and second, the improvement of our risk management. It is true that a project-driven industry is very strongly influenced by the fate of single major projects. With regard to South and East, I agree with you, the margin overall is not that bad, but we may not forget that also and some markets are developing quite strongly, such as Slovakia, Poland. A third market, which I could also mention, is astonishingly enough Hungary for the time being. There it is almost exclusively the public sector which is contributing to our pipeline in these markets, whilst the private sector is still developing rather dull in all the three countries, especially in Hungary and in Slovakia. It is a multifold development, and my overall expectation is the same as in Germany. I believe that a cunning combination of better cost efficiency and improved and enhanced risk management will also lead to a moderate improvement in this region of our group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And if I may, my third question was then concerning the whole group. If I may, the calculation of your estimate of 260 million EBIT in the fourth quarter, and then you have to reach an EBIT of roughly 195 million in the fourth quarter. If you look in the last years, even 2012, you were able to reach an EBIT of more than 200 million in the fourth quarter. So I think now all analysts are thinking about the situation. What do you mean with a normal EBIT in the fourth quarter? Would you at least agree to my opinion that your guidance of 260 million for the full year is rather conservative? Or have you really reasons to believe that the EBIT in the fourth quarter will, well, be more than 10% below last year's level?
I fully agree with your considerations, Mr. Kuhlmann. I believe it will be a normal fourth quarter. Whether this means it is more 195, 200, or 205 is to be seen. It will definitely, in my eyes, will be definitely not be as strong as it was in the previous year, which was about 220. I probably may recall that our guidance was that we think we will reach at least 260 million euros.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one. And our next question comes from the line of Tobias Loskamp of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three qualitative questions and maybe three quick housekeeping questions. Let's start off with the first set. Just want some follow-ups on Russia. You're talking about industrial construction now and that you are kind of acquiring the project. Is there any prepayments that you have to do here, or is there anything different because you need you are using a different wording on how to get to those contracts? Also, if that is the case, how do you make sure if you're entering a new business to keep the risks with these new type of projects low? Also on Russia, could you update us on the Transtroy potential transaction? Mm-hmm. Then I wanted to ask you on the current problem projects, if I may call them so, in the north and west region. Could you remind us, let's say, looking at it from today's perspective, do these come from a time where you have been a bit more aggressive in the tendering process, or would you just say that's the normal risk in the business that the construction company takes from time to time, so that three of these come now together? And finally, these are the questions for now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Loskamp. With regard to Russia, I think we have a rather risk-defensive contract model. It is not us being obliged to come up with prepayments, but it is our customers which have to pre-finance some of our costs. As I pointed out before, we usually base our business in Russia on cost plus fee, which means that we get reimbursed the cost which we incur for the customer plus a fixed fee for our overheads, which are, according to the nature of the cost, a sort of black box to our customers. Hence, there is basically no need for pre-financing. There is no rule without exception. We have one contract where we have different payment procedure, but the general rule is that we have prepayments from the side of our customers. And with regard to the fact that we are pursuing the cost plus fee model, we exclude a risk which you usually incur as a general contractor when you follow the very usual turnkey lump sum contract model, which we have, for instance, basically in all countries in Western Europe, which is the risk that you incur cost overruns and which you cannot invoice to the customer according to the lump sum formula which you have agreed upon with the customer. So this is a risk which we usually try to exclude for our business in Russia, and as I pointed out before, we are more or less very successful with that. Mm-hmm. Regarding the Transtroy operation, we have basically not yet any additional news with that. We are trying to identify together with them some projects which are of mutual interest. The basic problem is that Transtroy is very much focusing on the public sector, and the tendering regime in Russia, the so-called Smetana regime, does not really comply with what we have in mind once we think of public contracts. We are, of course, striving for contracts following international models such as FIDIC, and that makes it rather difficult for us to identify projects of mutual interest. Solution for that could be that Russia would again be tendering PPP models, which are tendered according to international contract formulas. This is not yet to be seen. Hence, I cannot really report any operational progress in that respect. With regard to the problem projects in the North and West segment, it is something special. For instance, with regard to the Swedish project, this is still belonging to the projects which we had been taken over once we were just entering the market. And hence, I would consider it as still a sort of entrance fee for a new market where I have to be open enough, where we were still lacking experience once we entered the market, given the fact that we didn't have any local subsidiary in that country before we opened up operations. But somewhere you have to start. I would exclude that a similar problem could happen to us today anymore, given the experience we have made in the meantime. With regard to the A15 motorway project in the Netherlands, it is a rather similar, still different experience. It is also the first PPP project in road construction which we have entered into in the Netherlands. We thought we would be on the safe side because we did that in a consortium consisting of two very well-known Dutch companies. We were just the only foreign company entering in that contract, and we did that on purpose in order to make use of the local experience of the local players involved in that project. But hence again, they also had underestimated the problems in the project, and these problems can be easily described in PPP and road construction. They have to do with the contract formula, which again, for the construction company, is a turnkey lump sum formula, whilst in road construction, the overall contract formula is unit pricing. And this is rather unusual for road construction engineers, and that caused a problem not only to us, but also to the two other Dutch partners which we have in our consortium there. So it is either new markets, either unusual projects in markets which had not yet been too familiar to us.
Okay, thank you. And then three, let's say, more technical questions. Firstly, can you give us a guidance of what you expect for the minorities in 2014? Second thing, I know in the quarterly reports you're not outlining the pensions, as far as I know. We have seen a couple of companies where there has been a marked increase in the pension liabilities. Could you give us an update here as well? And finally, also, could you give us about the size of the reclassification that you have undertaken in the quarter, please?
Mm-hmm. With regard to the minorities, you can already see in our quarterly report that the figure much smaller than it had been in the previous year. I do not expect to this relationship to change very much for the whole year. So the overall tendency in my eyes should remain intact, that the profit share of the minorities will be smaller than it had been last year. When it comes to pensions, I do not see any special problem with regard to that, because all the pension systems which we had had been closed. The figure which you see in our balance sheet is just the reminder stemming from old pension systems which we had either in the group companies before we closed the systems, either in newly acquired companies where we also close the systems once we take over the companies, that the provisions for pensions are getting higher in the balance sheet is under IFRS due to the fact that the interest rates, of course, are getting lower and lower over the recent months and years, and hence the discount factor is getting higher and higher, and the lower and lower, and the pension obligations in the balance sheet have to be increased. But it does not mean that we have any regime still in place where we see an increase of obligations vis-a-vis the employees or the former employees.
Yeah, can I just follow up on this one? I mean, end of last year, the pension provisions were, I think, 422 million. Then, so the number will be at the end of this year more towards 500 or 450, or do you have any guess that you can make from the Q3 numbers?
We're just calculating on that. Mm-hmm. Probably I may come first to the to the reclassification of the flue gas treatment. As I think I had said that it is a business which amounts to 25 million euros or amounted to 25 million euros turnover last year, and the result was about minus 5 million in 2013, which means it's more or less a non-material figure for us. The guess for the pension provisions could be something about 450 to 470 million.
Yeah. Regarding the reclassification, it was not about the flue glass business, okay. But it was about the one that you have classified from south and the east into
rail,
north and
the rail construction business.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was not the complete rail construction business because the machinery is still and remains in south and east. It was a figure of slightly more than 170 million euros in order backlog, which had been shifted from south and east to north and west. It is an output figure of about 122 million, and it was a number of staff of slightly more than 860 people.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Welcome, Mr. Loskamp.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star followed by one.
Excuse me, Mr. Dr. Thomas Bittel, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
Thank you very much. I hope that we could answer your questions satisfactorily, and I wish you a nice end of the year. Thanks so long.